You don't earn it. You can't behave yourself into that. You can't wake up and say, glory, I've earned. You can't. It just was given to us. He said, this is the record that God has given us eternal life. And this life that he gave us is a life that is in his Son. And if you have the Son, then you have the life. 13. Let's read verse 13 together. Verse 13. These things... Our stuff has gone blank. Verse 13. Okay, we can read from our Bibles, right? These things have I written unto you that believe. Verse 13. Okay. Okay, so let's read this. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know. What are you supposed to know? That you have what? Eternal life. And that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. Now, because the devil will show up and say you don't have it because you did this. It's not true. You didn't get it because you did anything. You got it because you believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't lose it because you did something. The devil will come to you and say, see, because of this thing you did, you don't have eternal life again. So you come, if that is true, then we get born again several times in the day. Because every time you miss it, then you go back and get born again. You have eternal life again. Then because within 2 hours you will lose it again, you go back and have eternal life. God is not schizophrenic. Schizophrenic? Schizo what? Phrenic. Not double-minded. He knew our weakness and he still gave it to us. That's why it's called grace of God. That's why it's called unmerited. You will never will merit this thing. But the devil will try to convince you and make you think it's because you are now good, you now have the life. It's not true. In fact, that thought alone will stop the life from working. Because it's pride. It's pride. Self-righteousness is pride that sets Christ aside, sets grace aside, and wants judgment from God. You are finished if you want judgment from God. You don't want. What you want from God is mercy. If you understand me, say amen. After all, the throne of God is a throne of grace. But if you want judgment, he will give you. But you don't want it. So the devil can't convince you otherwise, because that's why the Holy Spirit put it here. He said, hey, I'm writing this to you that believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have this eternal life. And that you may continue to believe on the name of the Son of God. Because as long as you believe that Jesus is Christ and is the Son of God, you have what? Eternal life. Don't let any Satan convince you otherwise. Because if it does and breaches this, your faith will go through the window. I don't care what you think you are doing. Your faith won't work. It won't work. You'll be in doubt about what you are doing, your prayer, your whatever. In fact, you think, oh my God, God is mad at me. God doesn't want to talk to me. Let me tell you, when you fail is when God comes close to help you. Can I hear amen? Because it is of the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed. And he said his mercy faileth not. It doesn't fail because he's continuously merciful. God can't help it but to be merciful. He just can't help it. But if you spurn his mercy and you reject his love, then you're your own. So we have eternal life because we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, from these scriptures we read, we realize that the law cannot give it because this life was in Christ. So before Jesus came, nobody had it. Not even Moses. Nobody had it. So at the time of law and Moses, they didn't have it. Nobody had it. If they had it, then Jesus didn't need to come. And if he come, why did he tell us, okay, I have come, so that you have... He would have said, well, you know, they had it before, so find out how Moses got it and go get it. It was not there. It came through Jesus Christ as a gift of God to us. And so the law couldn't give it. Galatians 3:21, we must be clear on this thing. We must be totally clear on this things. Galatians 3:21. It said, is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given, which could have given what? Life. Did you see that statement? Is the law then against the promises of God? He said, God forbid. It's not. For if there had been a law given, which could have given what? Life. Then verily, righteousness should have been by the law. So there's no law that can give life. All the Ten Commandments and all of them, they couldn't give man life. Actually, the law brought death, if you want to know the truth about it. Because the Bible said the letter kill it, but the Spirit gives what? Life. So it's not something that a man can earn or, you know, achieve or say, hey, look at me, I've gotten there. Forget about you getting there. The more you think you are getting there, the further really you're going downwards. Because if you are lifting yourself up, coming down. You know, I was doing a study on pride. My eyes popped open. I'm telling you, my eyes popped open. I'm like, wow. We need to study the Bible. Because a lot of things we do out of ignorance, it affects us. So, the Bible makes it clear that Jesus, our obtaining eternal life, is not because of you or me. It's because we have faith in who? Christ Jesus. That's all. Now, let's look at other scriptures that mentions, talks about the 2 Corinthians 2:14. But thank God, he has made us his captives and continues to lead us along in Christ's triumphal procession. Now, he used us to spread the knowledge of what? He used us to spread, what is he spreading? The knowledge of Christ, where? Everywhere, like a perfume. Now, you can begin to understand what the Holy Spirit is saying, is that life you have is Christ himself, that God is using us to reveal the life of Christ to people, so that people who don't know him, when they look at us, they will know that Jesus is real. Amen? So, verse 15, our lives are what? A Christ-like fragrance, rising up to God. But this fragrance is perceived differently by those who are being saved and by those who are perishing. To those who are perishing, we are a dreadful smell of death and doom. They say we are bigots. We are, what else do they call us? Fanatics. There are a lot of names, wonderful names they call us. Very beautiful names they call us. They say we are homophobic. We are all manner of phobic. They are wonderful names. Praise the Lord. So that's, they call us some. Jesus said it. He said, look, they call me names. They will call you names. So they call us names. So the Bible makes it clear that we are dreadful smell of death and doom. So they throw tomatoes at you because you don't agree with this confusion that the devil is causing. A perversion of sex, which is leading to perversion of bathrooms, leading now to nakedness. Do you know that the first time in London they have opened a bar for naked people? And 40,000 applied to come. And they're flying from all over the world. You know what they're going to do? To be naked to eat. It's a new restaurant. The law is that you must be naked. 40,000 applied in the first 1 hour. So now for you to get a table, if they give you date, you are coming. And the airlines are in business. Because in 1 hour, 40,000, you can know what happens in the 6 months. And the only thing they told them is that you have to be naked. You know where that thing is descending from? This one, we accept it. This one, perversion, the devil. This one. But then they now have people who want to ride bicycle naked. And the police got them. And insisted they must wear at least obante. The police insisted you must wear at least obante or, you know, something to cover something. You see where that thing is going. Mark my word, with time, nakedness will be part of the culture. Just mark my word. I don't want to tell you the other perversions that is really becoming mainstream perversion. So when you don't agree with those things, you become a dreadful smell of death and doom. But to those who are being saved, we are a life-giving perfume. Can somebody say amen? And they said, and who is adequate for such a task as this? Nobody can live this life. That's what they're saying. This fragrance, nobody can produce it. It's been produced by Christ himself. Can the church say amen? Now, another thing the scripture said about this life is Colossians 3:4. When Christ, who is our life, when Christ, who is what? Our life. You see, he said the life is in Christ. Now the Holy Spirit is saying, Christ, is that your life? When Christ, who is your life, is revealed to the whole world, you will share in all his glory. I want you to tell somebody, Christ is my life. I want you to say it again, please. Say it one more time. Now you can understand Galatians 2:20. Now, when Paul said in Galatians 2:20, I'm crucified with... Okay, let's read it. My old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but what? Christ lives. Why? Because Christ is my life. Now, please, I want you to understand this because I'm going somewhere with it. I'm going to show you why the church fell flat. And many churches became, today, they are tourist sites. It's because of this. Pretty soon you'll see what I'm going to show you. I want you to bear in mind, and today it's happening in many churches. Please listen to me. It's happening in many churches because they are missing this thing. So he says, Christ is my life. So Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. Everybody say, Christ lives in me. Say it loud, please. Lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Paul is saying, you see, this life I live is not me, it's Christ. Because he is my life. And someone else, Paul said, Christ is my all. No, he's everything. So it's not us, but Christ. So the new life we have is who? Christ. It's not us, but Christ. So that leads me to the next thing I want to say. You see, this new life is actually developed to maturity. It's actually developed to what? If, please, I'm begging you to follow me because I'm going into something critical. This new life is developed to what? Maturity. So the Bible says in 1 Peter 2:2, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of what? The word, that you may grow thereby. So now, this growth that the Bible is talking about, obviously, it's not a status growth. It's not a physical status growth. It's not growth like a baby grows physically. Come on, you following me? Why is it not so? 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 I just said it, but you didn't get it. I said, I'm going to say something critical. I just said it, and I want you to unravel that. Why is it not a status thing? You are growing like baby grows. Why is it not so? Yet there's growth. So why is it not so? If you solve this riddle, you get the Bible study, you get promotion today. Why is it not so? Rack your brain. You know, I warned you as I'm going to say something critical. Because Christ is alive. You both share the thing. If Christ is my life, Christ is full, doesn't need any growth. If Christ is your life, then Christ doesn't need any what? Growth. So it's not a status, it's not a physical growth. The growth is knowledge growth. The growth is what? Knowledge growth. It's not like, you know, I have my little angel there, my small baby. You know my baby, Akwabia. My little girl is small now, but gradually she will grow in stature. That's the natural type of growth. But the first, the spiritual we're talking about, it's not like that. Just like our union with Christ, it's not like your union at your marriage counter. Your union at your marriage counter is hand to what? Hand. But your union with Christ is that you wear him like cloth. You wear him like what? Cloth. So, the growth that Peter is talking about in 1 Peter 2:2, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow, is a revelation of what the word of God is teaching about Christ. Because he's your life. He is your what? It's your life. Now, again, let me say another critical thing. Because the church doesn't focus on life, and generally we don't focus so much, I mean the body of Christ, on Christ. And yet the Bible said, focus on me, look unto me. Look unto me, look at me. The prophet says so, and then Christ himself, the Holy Spirit says so. He said, look unto me, look at me, look at me, focus on me. Don't look at somewhere else. Focus on me. Look at me. We read those things and we push it by the side. Because the church is not focused on Christ. The revelation of all that Christ did for the church is not too known to the body of Christ. And because it's not too known to the body of Christ, the devil wrestles it from them very easily. Very easily. Very, very easily. Now, you talk of life. I don't know many years in my Christian life that somebody sat me down and told me that Christ is really your life, and he taught me in details how Jesus is my life. All my years growing as a Christian, I was being pointed to the law as life. Come on, prove me wrong. Prove me wrong now. It's all Christians do this, Christians do that, Christians do that, Christians do that, and Christians do some more. And you call yourself a Christian. This is what you do. Nobody mentions Jesus in all of that. That's why the church is falling apart. Because the thing we are being pointed to is not the life. The thing that the church in Europe that started to teach people was theology. And they went to theological seminaries, theological colleges, and developed theological knowledge, Calvinism, Arminianism, and all the zims. And then they were fighting over that. I have a PhD, and I have a DHD, and I have a DP, you know, this, and then my name is Archbishop, and then my name is, what other title? All of them. You must go to theological college and approve before you preach the gospel. It's not the Bible. It's not in the Bible. Jesus said every Christian should go and what? So they put a wage. So you don't preach until we approve. And then we go to theological college. They take away the knowledge of Christ and give you the knowledge of theology. Prove me wrong now. The result. Go to Europe, you see all the cathedrals are empty. Because if you remove Christ, you remove life. Case closed. If you remove Christ, you remove what? Life. And if you remove Christ, you remove the only hope of mankind. If you remove Christ, you become very vulnerable. Because it's the life in us. Everybody say, Jesus is the life in us. And the life in the church. And so, if the church is not going to refocus on him, to study who this life is, and to know how this life works, we're going to go fall back to the things that don't give life. They don't give life at all. The laws don't give life. And there won't be spiritual growth. We end up being Pharisees. You know Pharisees? Boy, talk of law, they were experts. So they said, concerning the law, was zealous and things like that. And they were really very zealous of the law. Paul said, this law, listen, perfect in it. But the same Paul, brethren, when he came to his senses, he said, who will deliver me from this body of what? Sin. He said, oh, wretched man. He realized it takes more than that. Because except the Son of God has set you free, you're not free at all. The law can't set you free. Can't give you life. Are you following what I'm saying? If you're following me, say amen. So because of that refocusing from the life himself and where God says, look unto Christ and be ye saved. Look unto Jesus. Looking unto Jesus. Our church, hey, looking unto Jesus. We change the focus to looking unto us. And then what we're supposed to be doing. And all that is not life. So we didn't develop, grow in the knowledge of the life that God gave us. We don't even know that it's there. We don't reckon with it. We don't know how it works. Our faith is not in it. And the church is full of struggling people. Very, very afraid of sin. Slightest thing, hey, I don't want to sin. And yet they're committing sin. Very afraid. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. And yet they're committing sin. Romans 3:20. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law, come on, church, by the law, what knowledge you get there? See, it will tell you what is right and wrong, that's all. You won't know Christ through that. You won't know life through that. You won't grow. Because this growth is a growth of knowledge. It's a growth of knowledge. It's a growth of knowledge. 2 Peter 3:18. Tells us how we grow in this life. We grow in this life. But grow in grace and what? In the knowledge of what? Our Lord Jesus and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. It says, church, grow in the knowledge of Christ. That's the spiritual growth you need to have. Because Christ is Christ. It can't increase. It's just Christ. So what you grow in is the knowledge of he that is your life. Look at 2 Peter 1, 2. 2 Peter 1, 2. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge. I want us to read it together. You think I made it up. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through what? Of God. And do you know what it means that grace and peace is multiplied? Look up here. You know what grace is? Grace is the hand of God working for you because of Jesus. Period. Grace is the hand of God working for you because of, that's grace. It's the hand of God. That's why Isaiah 53 verse 1 says, who has believed our, and to whom will the hand of God be what? And he was given the report of Christ Jesus. He said, if you believe this report, you will see a revelation of the hand of God because of these things that Jesus did. So, by the knowledge of Christ, the more you know Jesus, the more your faith is strong in him, the more you can trust him, the more you can see the hand of God work in your life to transform you and make you what you should be. Pure simple. Those laws will make you is the hand of God. But the hand of God will work more and more the more you know Christ Jesus. Is anybody following me here? This is what the church has missed. And their cathedrals are tourist attraction. A lot of Christians today, their lives is tourist attraction. I was talking with somebody some time ago. And you know, the Lord told me, he said, do you know that person doesn't know me? He said, he does. He said, he doesn't even know what the grace of God means. And these are Christian leaders. He said to me, doesn't that person I'm talking to, he said, don't you see what they were talking about? He doesn't understand me. Neither does he know Christ. Neither does he know the grace of God. So 2 Peter 1:2, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power had given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. How? Through the knowledge of him that had called us to glory and virtue. It's through the knowledge of him that you get access to these things that the hand of God is doing in your life. Colossians 3:10. New Living Translation. Put on your new what? Nature. What's the new nature? Christ in us. The new life we have. Actually, your old life is you that was crucified on the cross. It's me. So God created a new spirit, and in that new spirit, Christ now lives. So he said, put on your new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your creator and become what? As you learn to know him, that's when you become like him. As you learn to know him. In this new life, it doesn't matter if you are a Jew or a Gentile, circumcised, or what again? Uncircumcised, barbaric, uncivilized, whether you are from Ekurobia, slave or free, Christ is all that matters. And he lives in all of us. That's all that matters. And he lives in all of us. He's our life. He's all that matters. And then in studying to know Christ, then you come to know the love of God. Because he is a revelation of the love of God. Can I hear amen there? Look at what it does. When you study to know Jesus and to have a revelation of the love of God and have a revelation of who God is, man, it transforms your life. I've said it here. If you want to see the wonders of God, study Christ. You don't have to make effort. Your mind, your thinking will change from inside. Everything you are doing is just real. You are not pretending. You won't make effort. Those things that you need to struggle with, they will just die. I'm telling people the truth. They will just die. No effort. And you will love and love and do what? Love some more. If I can't love enough. Ephesians 3:12. He's telling us, for instance, what the love of God does for us in prayer now. In prayer now, because of Christ and our faith in him, we can now come how? Boldly and how? Confidently in God's presence. This very scripture, if you understand the love of God and what Christ did, it will build your faith to come boldly. Brethren, I was saying on Wednesday that the body of Christ must know how to pray and pray effectively. If a Christian doesn't know how to pray, his Christian life will be watered down. He will do without a lot of things and will lose a lot of battles. And the Paul says, look at the privilege you have that we can come boldly before who? Before who? Before who? Why? Because of what? That's part of knowing Christ. That because of what he did, I can come boldly before God. And again, the devil will contest it. Everything Jesus did for you, the moment you want to study to know it and begin to apply it, the enemy will contest it because he wants to take it from you. They will give you all these methods, this, and then you'll be thinking, it's because you did this that God will hear me. And then you decide, if I want to be going more to Bible studies, so that God will answer my prayer. And that's the very reason God will not what? Answer your prayer. The very reason is because you are bringing to God your self-righteousness, which is filthy rag, and throwing away his son. He won't take it from you. Because there's only one way to God. And that way is who? Jesus Christ. Oh, coming to Bible studies is very good. Pretty soon you will see it. But that's not the reason God will answer your prayer anyway. We must be familiar with these things and be persuaded within them and be grounded in these truths so that we practice them and experience the benefit that comes from it. Then in verse 14, Ephesians 3:14. Ephesians 3:14. When I think of all of this, I fall to my knees and pray to the Father. What do I tell the Father when I go to my knees? The creator of everything in heaven and on earth, I pray. Why am I falling to my knees? Because I have access to God. I can go boldly. He said, man, when I think of these things, I go straight to God. I don't waste time. And I fall on my knees and I pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and on earth. I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his what? Spirit. What does this empowerment do? What is Paul talking about? All these prayers we see in the Bible, how many of them do we pray really? How many of them? What is Paul talking about? He said, I want God to give you the ability to empower you. Why should God empower me? Verse 17, then Christ will make his home in your heart as you trust in him. He said, when God gives you the empowerment to know who Christ is, then you really begin to believe that Christ is in you and he's the greater one and he's the hope of your glory. He says, so then Christ will make his home in your heart as you trust him now. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. Is anybody following me? Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you what? Strong. Let me stop. Okay, let me read 18. And you may have the power now. You see what this empowerment does? It gives you a revelation to understand as all the God's people should. Every person in the body of Christ should understand these things. Should understand. What are they supposed to understand? How wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. 19. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then. Everybody say then. What happens as a result? He said, then you will be made what? Complete with all the fullness of life. All the fullness of what? This life and power that comes from God. He said, that's when you become matured. You grow into maturity. That's what he's saying. All this growth and maturity comes through knowledge. And he's saying, God, give them the ability to know, to understand the love of God, to be revealed to them, even though this passes human understanding. He said, when you begin to know it, your faith will be rooted in that love. Then you become a matured Christian. He said, you'll be so strong. Do you know what happens? Perfect love casts out what? Fear. When you know the love of God, fear goes. No, fear and love, they don't coexist. You can't be fearful in the presence of a lover. Then it is no more. He's no more a lover. He used to be honey. Now he's bee. He has turned into a bee. That's why you can't be comfortable. So when you know the love of God, fear goes. That's why somebody, man, it's amazing. It's amazing. That's why Paul could stand up. He said, I know in whom what? I believe. He said, none of these things move me. Neither count my life as what? Anything. He said, will make you strong. Then that's when this life we're talking about will be manifested. Because it's a life of the power of God. But it comes by knowledge. Is anybody following me here? It comes by knowledge. That you may have the power to understand. Remember, the growth we're talking about is not physical. It's a growth of knowledge. So he said, God will empower you to understand. As every Christian should understand the depth of divine love, so that you may begin to walk in the experience of that love, even though it is impossible to understand it naturally, then you will be made complete. You begin to mature as you grow deeper and deeper in that revelation of the love of God. Verse 20. Now, all glory to God who is able now, through his mighty power at work, where? Within us, to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask. He said, now you can begin to do things beyond your natural ability because of the infinite power of Christ that works in you. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. So, when we don't grow in the knowledge of Christ, we don't know the love of God, we can't even understand the cross. We can't even understand the benefits of the cross. We can't. And because we don't understand them, we are fearful to embrace them as true. We think, I don't qualify. Maybe it's not mine. Maybe I'll call Pastor Chinedu to pray. And then maybe he's nearer to God. And you don't know, I just quarreled with my wife. And you're calling me. And I'm angry with her. And you're calling me. There's one pastor that called me, we were talking. He said, he was telling me about somebody. He said, this person is really very good. I said, Pastor. I said, stop. Let me tell you something. I said, the Bible says some people, their sin go what? Before them. I said, others, their sin comes what? I said, I don't know the person. I don't know whether his sin is in front or behind. Let's talk another thing. I said, let me tell you, some people, you meet, they are coming down, you meet them, they are stay up, but they are coming down. You don't know they are coming down. You don't know they are coming down, but they are stay up. You don't know. I said, leave these things to God. Do you have any other topic for us to discuss? Do you know, because Christians are not growing in the knowledge of Christ, we don't experience this life, really. So a lot of times we are emotion controlled. You doubt me? I can tell somebody to say something now that will make half of us angry. You see our faces. We're emotion, we're body controlled. Emotion controlled. Pam, anger will go from here to high heavens. Why is this so? Because we haven't learned how that life of Christ works. The love of God. We are not rooted in it. If we are rooted in it, let me tell you, if you are rooted in it, it will show. When the carnal thing wants to come, the love of God will overtake it. Can I hear amen? It will overtake it. You won't make effort. You won't be thinking of anger. You'll be thinking of, oh, wow, maybe there's something. Maybe I need to help. Maybe I didn't get it right myself. Maybe it's me that caused this thing. And even if you get angry, in 2 minutes, the Spirit of God is conversing with you. I say, you allowed your carnal nature that is dead, crucified. You brought it back here. You should die. So Christ will live. Amen? And Paul said, I die daily, every day. Because you see, this life is not what I live. It's what Jesus lives. So when I spoil it, it's when I start living. And then what I'm doing is controlled by human understanding, feelings, and all those things. My emotions take over. How many of you understand what I'm saying? Because if it is Christ that is living, then I should be dead. Emotion dead. Everything what? Dead. And then who lives now? Christ. So he's the one that responds. He's the one that guides. He's the one that instructs. Every single time we live, we spoil things. Praise the Lord. You know, we're talking here in the couples forum, and they were asking a question. If somebody, you give somebody money, he misuses the money, and they were saying, the best thing is don't give him again. I told them, I said, no. Not if you live the life of Christ. Can I ask everybody this simple question? Who was Jesus' treasurer? Was he a thief? Eh? Why didn't Jesus stop him? If is that the way you're going? When did Jesus say, this man are giving him, he's chopping our money up. We should appoint Matthew now. After all, Matthew was a tax collector. Why didn't Jesus stop him? Why? See, so sometimes you want to stop and the Lord will say, no. I still want to give him. Give him. Say, Lord, what is this? Say, no. You are the line through which I want to reach him. Keep giving him. I will restore this thing to you, but keep giving him. And then you are giving and you are giving. One day, the same person will say, no, I've really been watching your life. You've been so good to me. I don't know why you are so different. And you say, it's Jesus. Say, okay, I want Jesus too. Then after that, instead of stealing, he will stop. And then God will bless you back all those things. The ways of God is past. It's not human wisdom. I'm telling you, if God has not surprised you, you are not walking with God. You see, from this pulpit, most of the things I say, I want to grab it back. I'm not kidding you. I'm like, God, whoa, Lord, yeah. Before I know it, pam. Before I know it, pam. Before I know it, pam. Before I know, and more will go, pam. Another will go, pam. I'm saying, Lord, whoa, have mercy on me. If God speaking by you, it will surprise you. Because some of the things he's saying is not from your understanding. Some of them will shock you. Because it's not from you. And that will tell you that's not you. Amen? Come on, I said amen. That will tell you that's not you. I told you a story how I would go to a woman walking to church. I just go to her and said, you are in for a miracle. And I didn't know the woman. And I'll go back and say, Lord, what is this I'm doing? Is this showmanship or what? And I did it twice. I went home and cried, asking for forgiveness. And then the following Sunday, I did it again. I'm telling you, after I prayed for forgiveness, I did it again. I said, look, I've done it, God. You can now, whatever you want to do with me. I didn't know that was the Holy Spirit inspiring that thing. Because the woman was giving up to die from Germany to Nigeria, giving up to die. I didn't know. But you know, when God healed her and she was testifying, that's when I said, wow. So when I now know why, I'll go to her and say, well, I didn't know. I was saying, why should I say that? So I've learned to trust God in all this. Every gift of the Spirit is done by faith. Praise the Lord. So the life we live is Christ. Remember where we started? Christ is our life. Can we say it again? So if Christ is your life, then let him live. Period. But you won't let him live until you know him sufficiently enough to trust him. That's why the Bible says it's through the knowledge of Christ that you can experience these things. You know him sufficiently enough to really release situations into his hand, release things you don't understand, release this person did this to me. You can now trust Jesus with all of that and have peace. But if you don't know him sufficiently, you will push him aside and say, it's a long time, my friend. I need to see you, my friend. Let's talk. The reason is that you don't know Christ enough to trust him with that situation. Is anybody following me? If you want Jesus to live, let him live. And we sing it, it is no longer I that liveth, but Christ. Let me ask you a question. Who was that one that was hollering and shouting a few hours ago? Was it Christ or you? Okay. And we come and sing, it is no longer. The growth that we're talking about is that you grow in knowledge sufficiently that you stop interfering. That you stop what? Getting in Christ's way. Paul said, I'm dead. Totally dead. It's no longer I don't live nothing. It's Christ that lives because he's my life. Brethren, we should understand what this life means. That it is Christ in us. And he's the one living. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. Did you see the drama these children acted? Somebody that didn't have house rent, and then some people gave him money for house rent. And he told the wife, he said, I'm going to give it to the woman that doesn't have money. That's like Jesus. That's the kind of thing he would do. And then the wife went crazy. He said, they're about to throw us out, and you want to... Can I ask you a question? If it's you, wouldn't you think like that? How many of us would think like that? It is no longer I that live it. But you know, because Jesus knew that I can handle this. And he said to them, give it out. I'm your life. I'm your confidant. I'm your everything. Give it out. And they said that drama was a real life story. That they didn't make it up. It was real life story. And then when they gave the thing to money to that woman, it was the wife of their landlord who was throwing them out, who has abandoned the wife and the baby. And when the landlord came and realized that this man gave the wife money to take care of his child, he now ordered Brother Obi Super, to now renovate that house for them, and they did not pay any rent. Now listen to me. Initially, before they came to that point, didn't they look foolish? I'm asking, church, come on. I've told you, if you are following Jesus, you do foolish things. You will do a lot of foolish things. And if you don't know him sufficiently, you can't trust him. The devil will put so much pressure, you think, man, I got to do something. Because you don't know him enough. You are not growing in the knowledge of Christ. You haven't come to maturity. Where you are rooted in his love, you know you can trust him with your life. You can trust him with painlessness. You can trust him with insult. Trust him with every temptation. You can relax. You know the hand that keeps you. You understand who he is. You are not in doubt as to be his capability. You know who is rooted, who is living in you. Praise the Lord. And when you pray, because you know the power, the privilege of his name, you will expect the answer. The devil can't talk you out of it. You know Christ. You know Christ. That's why this growth is the growth of knowledge of Jesus. Knowledge of Christ. Amen? So, in the church today, what did the arrangement that Holy Spirit made for us, Ephesians 4:11? Now, these are the gifts Christ gave to the church: the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. All the teachers say amen. Sunday school teachers, what are you? Life center leaders, you are teachers too. And then all the teachers, their responsibility is to equip God's people to do what? His work. Building up the church, the body of Christ. How? 13. This will continue, this work they're doing, until we all come to such unity in our faith. And what's the next one? Come on, what's the next one? You just tossed the verse out. I'm in verse 13, you tossed it. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our what? Faith. And what is the next one? And the knowledge of God's Son. That then we will be mature in the Lord. The growth is knowledge issue. Those that know their God, they shall be strong. The growth is simply knowledge. How much of Jesus do you know? He said the job of the pastors is to teach the church about the Son of God until their faith in him becomes united. I believe the same thing that they find. He believes. You believe the same thing that I believe. All of us believe the same thing because we are getting the same knowledge. We come in the unity of what? Faith. It's not that I believe this. If I believe that, you believe that. They believe that. That's this unity of faith. But if we are learning under our pastor and our teachers, we are getting the same thing and we are growing and we have unity of faith. We have unity of faith. And then the knowledge of Christ we have is the same. We are growing in it. Is anybody understanding me? The Bible says that's how you get matured. That's how you get matured in this life. That's how you really get matured in this life. Remember what we read before. It says that God will empower the church to know the love of Christ, to know this, and then they become filled with the fullness of God, become matured. So they're not led by emotions, led by what they see, the news of this and news of it means nothing to them. Then 14, Ephesians 4:40. Then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching that comes to town. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like the truth. You see what maturity does? Stabilizes you. You're not running up and down. My sister in London, Uchenna, I said, Uchenna, you're like your brother. I said, brother, me and you, the same mother now. He said, brother, London is something now. He said, they came to my house. They now have card, business card, that the name is Prophet, so. So they have agents who come knock on your door and bring you card and say, do you want prayer? Say, the prophet is in town. Say, they brought it to me. And he said, brother, these people have lost their mind. He said, you know what I asked them? I said, why do I need your prophet? Can you explain to me where the Bible says I should go to your prophet, number one? Number two is, what's wrong with my knees? And what's wrong with my prayer? And before I count three, leave my house. I don't need this business thing. And then he said, they will tell you the amount of money you will bring. He said, I've not fed my children giving you money for profit. I said, sis me, my own sister. May God raise people who know Christ, who are stable. They know when these trickery things come. They say, no, no, take it away from me. And it's unfortunate that I see a lot of Christians, when they start doing all this nonsense, they line up, pray for me. Come, we anoint you with oil. Lay hands on you. So-called mature Christians are lining up. Bro, it's my turn. After all of that, even common sense doesn't even teach us. Even common sense doesn't teach us. When will we learn? When will we learn to let Christ live and be stable? Oh, somebody shout hallelujah. When you can look things in the face and say, I know in whom I believed. His word is yea and amen. I don't need that. All I need is faith in Christ. My victory is my faith. My faith is my victory. And I'm not moving one inch. We know Jesus sufficiently like that. The rock upon which we build things won't shake. Then 15. Instead, we will speak the truth in love. You see, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. When we are growing, we start speaking the truth in love. All this emotional hee-haw, emotional wahala, trouble, anger, ka-ta-pa-ka-pa-pa, we stop. Because now you are speaking in love. You are speaking in love. You are speaking what? In love. I didn't hear too much. You are speaking what? In love. No more gossiping. No more backbiting. When you say things, you say it with love. That's humility. That's humility. Praise the Lord. Now, finally, before we go, I want to show us when Paul realized that it was the knowledge of Christ that he needed, he quickly made a radical change, and the thing transformed his life. Look at Philippians 3:2. Watch out for those dogs, those people who do evil, those mutilators who say you must be circumcised to be saved. For we who worship, brethren, listen to the definition of spiritual worship here. For we who worship by the Spirit of God are the ones who are truly what? How do you define spiritual worship? We rely on what Christ, Jesus, what? That's spiritual worship. Carnal worship relies on what men. Spiritual worship relies on what this Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, has done for us in Christ Jesus. We put no confidence in human what? Effort. Though I could have confidence in my own effort, if any could, indeed, if others have reasons for confidence in their own efforts, I have even more. Now listen to the carnal, very carnal stuff. From verse 15. All you will see in that from verse 15 down is I, what I did, I. Verse 15, I, what's the first I? Sorry, verse 5. The first I is what? I was circumcised when I was what? Then, and the other I says, and I I am a pure-blooded citizen of Israel, a member of the tribe of Benjamin, a real Hebrew, if there was ever one, was one. Then the next I says, I was what? A member of the Pharisees who demand the strictest obedience to Jewish law. Verse 6, the next I, what did the next I say? I was so zealous that I harshly persecuted the church. And as for righteousness, what is the next I? I obeyed the law without fault. 7, I once thought. Do you remember the Pharisees they went to the temple? Is this I? Then he says, I once thought that these things were valuable, but now I consider them what? Worthless. Why? He found another thing that was done, which is not I. He found what God did and embraced it. Verse 7. I once thought these things were valuable, but now I consider them worthless because of what Christ has done. 8. Yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of what? Knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. Because that's how you grow. It's a growth of knowledge. He said, nothing compares with knowing Jesus, my Lord. For his sake now, I've discarded everything, all these things, counting it all as a garbage. Why? So I can gain from what Christ has done, not lose. I can gain and become one with him. I no longer count, number one, on my own righteousness through obeying the law. Rather now, I become righteous through faith in Christ. Then verse 10, I want to know Christ so that I can experience this mighty power that raised him from the dead. It's through knowing him that the hand of God, the more I know him, the more the grace of God comes, the more the hand of God is revealed in my life. I even want to suffer with him, sharing his death so that all the suffering because of my faith doesn't bother me. That's the same thing my Lord suffered, so that one way or the other I will experience the resurrection from the dead. It's no longer I that live, but Christ that live. The question I'm asking is, all that hot temper thing, who was that? All that lying, who was that? Fear, because we don't know the love of God. All that lying, who was that? Christ. Yeah? Who was doing that? It's not the devil. Who are doing that? So every day we must die and say, look, I must not be the one. It must be Christ that lives. What? Because my life, who is my life? Come on, I want to hear you say that. Who is your life? Who is my life? Who is your life? Who is my life? So why should you focus? Christ. Because you should know your life and understand what God is. Praise the Lord. I don't know if this helped you. Did they help you? Did they refocus you a little bit? Yes. This is why a lot of prayers don't work. Then we resort to all these jingoisms that's useless. This is why we don't see the hand of God. We don't see the hand of God. Because we are not established in the grace of God, in the mercy of God, in the love of God. I want us to sing that song. It is no longer I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. It is no longer I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. In me, in me, in me, in me, O Lord. Jesus is the life. In me, oh yeah, it is no I that liveth, oh yeah, but Christ that liveth in me. Let's sing it again. It is.
You have just listened or viewed another teaching from the Orange Foursquare Church family. Please visit http://store.ftlw.org, where you can listen to other teachings freely, or you can purchase and download MP3s. Thanks and remain blessed.